Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out when Jesus' blood was shed at Calvary, it was a payment made for you and me.
God was punishing Jesus as if he personally committed every wicked deed committed by every wicked sinner, and in doing so, he could forgive and treat those redeemed ones as if they could live Christ's perfect life of righteousness. You see, the recipient of that wrath was God's own beloved Son. Listen to this. It was God's most painful moment.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Have you ever pulled up to a drive-through window and were told the car in front paid for your order? Try not to smile at a time like that. Someone who didn't owe paid so you wouldn't have to. Now, who does that remind us of? Today, on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out how Jesus paid the debt that he didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. It's a look at Jesus' sacrifice and the pivotal statements that he made as he hung upon the cross, making the ultimate sacrifice.
Turn to Matthew chapter 27. The title of my message today is Famous Last Words. We're really looking at the last statements of Christ. So here's our Lord with his shredded back and his hands and feet nailed to the cross. And he manages to get seven statements out from the cross. Here they are in their correct order. Statement number one. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hanging next to him is a thief. He turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus gives his second statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now looking down at the foot of the cross, he sees his mother, Mary, standing next to the apostle John. He says to Mary, woman, behold your son. And looking to John, he says, behold your mother. This is where many believe that the sins of the world were poured upon Christ, causing him to give his fourth statement from Calvary, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he says, I thirst. Statement number six, it is finished. Statement number seven, to his father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Standing nearby as the lead Roman centurion who observing all of this says, surely this was a righteous man. And think about Mary. She bore Jesus. She carried God in human form in her womb. And then as a little baby, she nursed him. And then she watched him take his first steps. And she watched him grow into a young man. And Jesus was the perfect son. Can you imagine? No rebellion, no naughtiness. Just compliant and loving and supportive, absolute perfection. And she loved him with all of her heart, and he loved her too. And that brings us to his statement from the cross that's really significant. It's statement number three. It's found in John's gospel. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Let me say a word about that. She stood at the cross, folks. His disciples were in hiding. Mary stood at the cross. Isaiah says he was so beaten and disfigured from his beating and crucifixion, you could hardly even tell he was a man. His body was traumatized, swollen. And imagine she looked up and saw him, but she would not give in to hysterics, running away in horror. She would not faint or fall to the ground. She would be strong for Jesus. And she would stand there saying, son, I'm here, I love you. And then Jesus says, woman, behold your son. What does that mean? Well, we can't be certain. But my opinion, Jesus was saying, woman, behold your son, not saying, look at me, Mary. But I think he was speaking of John, who was there. Woman, behold your son. That's your new son. Son, behold your mother. He was entrusting to John the responsibility of caring for his mother. What a privilege, John said. Of course, yes. Now we're going to come to the worst moment of Calvary. It's been described as the crucifixion in the crucifixion. It's where Jesus bears the sin of the world. Drop down to verse 45 of Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. We'll stop there. Without explanation, the sky suddenly turns dark. Why did it go dark? Because Satan was coming in full power. He was hitting Jesus with everything he had. It was dark. But it was also dark because it was at this moment that Christ, as I said, most likely bore the sin of the world, causing him to make this statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some people say the Bible's a book of fiction. Oh, really? No fiction writer would ever have the hero of the story make a statement like this. It's a misunderstood statement. It disarms us. It surprises us. We wonder, what did he mean when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In some films that depict the crucifixion, they show Jesus in a delirious state, even in a moment of crisis where he's doubting the Father. Father, Father, why have you let this happen? That's not what was happening. Jesus was not having doubt. Jesus was simply describing what was taking place because it was most likely at this moment that all the sin of the world was being placed upon Christ and the Holy Father turns his face away and Jesus is forsaken by the Father for a time so we can enjoy his presence forever. Listen to this. God was punishing Jesus as if he had personally committed every wicked deed committed by every wicked sinner. And in doing so, he could forgive and treat those redeemed ones as if they had lived Christ's perfect life of righteousness. This is amazing. This is what justification is. Justification is when God comes to my spiritual bank account and removes my sins and puts in its place the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So I stand before you today as a righteous man, approved by God and loved by God. And you are in the same position if you put your faith in Jesus. This is what he did for us at the cross of Calvary. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah, speaking of this, says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed.
Well, thanks for joining us today. You've tuned in for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie and his study, Famous Last Words. We've come to the fourth of the seven final statements of Jesus from the cross.
My God, why have you forsaken me? What does this mean? It means that Jesus was separated in fellowship from the Father for this time. And that for Jesus was a fate worse than death. You know that? You know, for Jesus, being separated from God, even momentarily, was worse than this crown of thorns. It was worse than this Roman cat of nine tails. And it was even worse than these spikes going in to his hands and feet. Because he had never had a single thought out of harmony with the Father. He walked in absolute perfection. And now to face this was, for Jesus, a fate worse than death. It was God's most painful moment. Do you remember the most painful moment in your life? This was God's most painful moment. But I want you to notice something. It was a prayer. It was framed in a prayer. Jesus started with the seven statements with a prayer, and he ended with a prayer. Statement number one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Final statement, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But what did Jesus say? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, bad things happen to us in life. And we wonder why. That's usually the first thing that comes to our mind when something bad happens, especially if it's a tragedy. We say, why has this happened to me? And I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I've lost a loved one. I've lost a wife, a husband, a child. Why? Why has this happened to me? And is it wrong to ask why? They'll sometimes ask. You might be surprised by my response. Because I've heard some say, never ask God why. That's a lack of faith. Never ask why. Really? Well, Jesus said why, didn't he? My God, why have you forsaken me? There's nothing wrong with asking why. And I'll say that to a person. It's okay to ask why. I've asked why. After my son died, I said, why? Why did this happen? So here's what I want to say. It's okay to ask why. Just don't expect an answer. Because if God were to answer your question, do you think that would satisfy you? Do you think you'd be okay after that? Actually, Habakkuk, the prophet, was struggling with things that God was doing. And he said, God, I don't get this. I want to know why. God said, if I told you why, you wouldn't believe it. Habakkuk says, oh yeah, try me. God told him. Habakkuk says, I don't get that. So let's just say one day the Lord condescended to your request. All right, I'm going to tell you why I allowed you to get cancer. Okay, I'm going to tell you why I allowed your child to die. I'm going to tell you why you were born with a disability. I'm going to tell you why this happened. Are you ready? Yes. I've got your note tablet out. Here it is. I don't agree with that, God. That's probably what we would say. Because we're living this side of heaven. We see things in the way that we see them. But one day when we're in glory and we see the Lord face to face, everything's going to make sense to us. So when we don't understand what is going on, we fall back on what we do understand, and that is that God loves us and has our best interests in mind, that he is in control and he works all things together for good to those that love him. Famous last words. These are famous last words, the last words of Christ, and one day we will give our last words. I read in the paper about the last words of a tenor known as Richard Versailles. He was singing one night in the Metropolitan Opera. He had climbed a ladder and sang these words, too bad you can only live so long. And then he had a heart attack and died. How ironic. Too bad you can only live so long. One day you're going to give your last words and then eternity. You may know they're your last words. You may not know, but then eternity comes, the afterlife. Now, if you're a Christian, you go immediately into God's presence. And you are immediately reunited with loved ones that have died in faith and are already there. And you're in total bliss. If you're not a Christian, you go into a place of separation from God. It's outer darkness. And ultimately, you stand before the great white throne judgment of God. And you're cast into the lake of fire. That's not fair. Hold on now. Don't you think God took drastic measures to keep you out of hell? He poured his judgments on his own son so you wouldn't have to face it. Jesus was forsaken so you could be forgiven. So if you end up in hell in that final day, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. God doesn't want you to go there. He wants to forgive you of all of your sin. And you can believe in him. Think about that thief on the cross. How long did it take him to believe? Years? Hardly. Months? No. Weeks? No. Hours? Really happened in an instant. And that's how quickly a conversion can happen. Just like that. Well, you might come in here as a non-believer and you're listening, yeah, like whatever. And all of a sudden, a light goes on and you say, I get it. For the first time, you realize, oh, wait. Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus paid for my sins. Oh, I get it. Jesus will come and live inside of my life right now, and I can go to heaven when I die. And you say that to someone, they say, I've been telling you that for like 5 years. But there has to be the moment where it happens for you. The Bible describes conversion this way. It says that God opens our eyes. Then we turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And then we receive an inheritance among those that are sanctified. But it starts with opening your eyes. I can't open your eyes, but God can. And by opening your eyes, I mean just all of a sudden, it all comes into focus. It all makes sense. And I believe, as I've shared these words from Scripture Some of you have had your eyes open. Some of you have just suddenly realized, I need Jesus Christ and I need him right now because I don't know when my last moment on earth will be, but I want to be ready to go to heaven. And I want to close with a prayer and give you an opportunity to get right with God so you can know with absolute certainty you will go to heaven when you die. Listen, friend, there's going to be a last meal. There's going to be a last statement. There's going to be a last breath. You cannot escape this. But if you're right with God, you don't have to fear it. You don't have to fear it because you'll go to be with the Lord. But if you're not right with God, you ought to be scared. But you can change it all right now by putting your faith in Jesus who died and rose again from the dead and is with us here right now. Standing at the door of your life and he is knocking. And he is saying, if you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Let's all pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. We know, as you say, it will not return void. It'll prosper in the place where you send it. Now I pray for any here that do not know you, any that are listening, any that are watching on a screen. Even now I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their sin and bring them to yourself. Now we would pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer today on a new beginning. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you with that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you know, Dave, the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer where you will be doing just that, calling on the name of the Lord. So listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and take away your guilt and your shame, then just stop what you're doing and pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this after me, if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I have fallen short of your standards. But 2,000 years ago, you died on that cross for me. Then you rose again from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord and my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you've just prayed those words with Pastor Greg and you meant them sincerely, the Lord has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to welcome you into the family of God. We'd love to send you some follow-up materials to help you begin a life of faith. Let us send them to you. It's called our New Believers Growth Packet. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-00-50-11. Well, tomorrow, Pastor Greg completes our look at the seven statements of Jesus from the cross. Each statement, each word, so heavy with meaning for our lives. That's next time, right here on A New Beginning. Now, for a copy of Pastor Greg's full message from today, get in touch with Vision Christian Store. It was called Famous Last Words. Just go to visionstore.org.au or call 1-800-00-50-11. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.